sticks.
Is that racist?
No. This is another Japan. This is a San Francisco bocho bicho.
What do they
San
call
Fransokyo.
This? From San Francisco.
Yeah.
Sounds like a terrible first draft nonsense. It's like, what are we going to call this place? San Francisco?
I think that's where Akira took place. I'm not sure.
It's just like...
It's a really cuddly Tetsuo.
Yeah, why can't it just be either Tokyo or San Francisco? I don't understand why it has to be this weird portmanteau of both.
I think it could be anywhere.
Yeah, I did too.
It's any.
No, it could be one of those two places. Those are the only two places it could possibly be.
The idea is that it's near future and something weird happened, but we don't want to get into it.
Japan drifted back
Japan
into California.
Japan won.
Basically, all anime fans finally reached a critical mass and took over California.
And San Francisco does have one of the highest Asian populations of any American city.
What if the Japanese had won World War II and then made Marvel animated films? Boom.
This is super off topic.
Is it?
Really kind of.
What are we talking about?
I don't think that Big Hero 6 has nearly as much to do with Japan as we're making it seem.
No, this is the latest Walt Disney animated flick that, yes, indeed, has Asian people in its lead, which, hey, nice going, Disney. It's about time you had some non-white characters for the first time since,
action.
What, like, the Hawaiian chick.
Wait a second, you think that's affirmative action?
What?
That they have Asian people as a lead.
The way he was putting it.
No, I'm like, you know what? 95% of your films have Caucasian leads.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying.
I'm going, it would be nice if every once in a while it wasn't about white people.
And now we're off topic.
And
awesome.
This indeed is not. It's this little Asian kid who's real smart. He's real smart. He's smarter than we are.
This is why we're not called, you know, slightly suspect reviews. This is highly suspect reviews.
And his older brother is, like, you know, is smart as well, but he's a more serious physicist. And the kid in question named Hiro.
Hiro.
What? It's foreshadowing, I'm just Hiro. Saying. Is more into robot fighting. He builds his, like, little robots that are deceptively cute that are actually death machines to fight in these illegal bot fights. But his brother's like, look, you're smarter than that. You should be doing more stuff in this, and talks him into actually applying at the local, like, big physics college. Like, yeah. Tricks him, basically.
I just kept thinking of, like, if John Mulaney was doing the 80s trailer version of this voiceover, it'd be like, big brother's real science, little brother's real steel. And then you just see, like, him fighting with robots.
That is something only you would have thought.
I know. This is how my brain works.
I love you for it.
Yeah,
that's
my
point.
What are you going to do?
It's your Balloway. So. But everything goes terribly wrong when, after a big science show that Hiro, like, handily wins with his pretty brilliant invention of microbots that can basically, little tiny bots that can form.
I collected those when I was a kid.
Right? Mm-hmm. That's what I thought. I was like, wait, wasn't that a thing?
Yeah.
Little bots that are attracted to each other. They go out on dates, then it doesn't work out, and then they're on, you know, looking at you porn depressed at home while drinking too much.
They all see transcendence.
Could you stop looking through my windows at night? I would really fucking appreciate that.
They're basically little tiny robots that come together to form whatever shape you can imagine.
Yeah, they
through telepathic
together.
Control. Like, in the after this whole thing, the place blows up. There's a huge explosion. His professor is killed. His brother is killed. His invention is lost. Life sucks. So he's back to where he started, only the only friend that he seems to have is the robot that his brother had built, which is this big, white, cuddly, inflatable medical bot.
It's the Stay Puft medical bot.
It pretty much is,
yeah.
Except completely adorable.
Yeah.
I wanted to reach into the screen and hug it. It's like,
yeah.
Oh, you're so cute. And they end up finding out that there was more to the explosion than what it seemed, and of course there's an evil villain, and... Let me put it this way. This is actually based on a Marvel Comics property.
Right, it is.
That almost no one had ever read.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've been reading Marvel Comics for 20 years, and I never fucking heard of them.
My friend John Golson was sitting next to me at the screening and goes, yeah, this is based on a Marvel comic book. And then there was a beat, and he goes, a not very good Marvel comic book.
True. But, you know, when you give it the Disney treatment like this, I gotta say, even though this isn't going to terribly unfamiliar ground at any point, they still know exactly how to reach in and, like, yank the wires out until it's fun.
Yeah, they definitely know the levers to pull in your heart to get you to be like, wow, oh, no.
It's got the right amount of schmaltz, but Disney has also learned, thanks to the Avengers, how to do, like, group superhero fight sequences that are exciting. And even, and what I was most impressed with actually is that they figured out how to capture a lot of that same excitement in animation. It actually reminded me of when we saw like Rise of the Guardians and you got that same, like the animated superhero team. And my, one of my concerns was like, but how are they going to make that, you know, exciting when in the battle sequences? And they found a way. They just did. Like life.
The actual action sequences, which I, by God, a third into the film are just omnipresent of just like huge, roll. You know, every animation movie has to have, it's like, oh, this is the roller coaster sequence. This movie's fucking filled with them.
This is the How to Train Your Dragon sequence.
Exactly. Yeah. And it does it so well and it does it so inventively that this is a movie owned by the actual animators. Not the script writers.
No.
You know, it's not the script's terrible. It's just nothing we haven't seen before. Yeah. That's all.
Well,
but it's so pretty and it's so much fun and there's so many laughs in it along the way. Well, visual gags that, hey.
I will say there is one thing that I watch a lot of anime movies and I don't think I've seen it. There's a part of the movie where they actually turn you firmly against the protagonist.
For a bit.
A bit. He almost becomes the antagonist in a way that.
You think they're going a Frozen route for a minute, where it's like, is he going to be a supervillain?
Yeah, it's like, I mean, that was done so well. That's what actually brought me back into it, because honestly, I was bored for like 30 minutes in this movie until that part happened, because I could see all the beats happening as they happened, and that just sort of threw a monkey wrench. I was like, whoa, is he going to be the villain now? Because that'd be really cool. That'd be really, really cool.
You would have liked to see him be the bad guy?
Yeah.
You want to see the Asian guy in the movie become the bad guy?
There's a few.
There's a bunch of Asian guys in the movie.
I think for me, what I really liked about it, speaking on what you were saying, Chris, about the animators, is that the superheroes, the team, the Big Hero 6, which I'm assuming...
Such as it is.
Yeah. The characters are... Their powers are designed clearly visually. Their powers don't make any goddamn sense.
No.
Except that they look awesome.
They look amazing.
What, Honey Lemon? Yeah. Her exploding orb power out of a purse.
Is totally useless.
Stupidest power.
Yeah.
But, I mean,
voiced
it is...
Voiced by Genesis Rodriguez.
I'm sorry. Almost as stupid as her name.
Yeah, but that's Honey from Lemon. The comic. That's from the comic.
I know. No, I'm not blaming the movie. I'm blaming whoever fucking came up with that name.
At first, I thought they were going out, like him and...
Oh, Honey Lemon. Yeah.
Like, hey, Honey Lemon. I was like, oh, that's a cute... Oh, no, that's a real name.
Not only is that, like, even if they were dating, is he 95 years old and a Southern woman? Like, oh, Honey Lemon, come over here and let me tell you about being a superhero.
Mint Julep.
You're absolutely right, though, Michael. They're all very visually based, you know, as well as Damon Wayans Jr. does Wasabi, who is basically the Wolverine character, except he's the one who's all like, no, I don't want to do this, whose whole power is that he has cutting blades that can go through anything, which seemed like a terrible idea for somebody to hold as a first-timer superhero in a group.
Right.
I'm just saying, you say people going to die? Yes, people are probably going to die and by accident.
Another thing that
slice
I think
you like butter.
Another thing that I think is really strong about the movie is that it attempts a few different avenues of comic relief. Mm. Which I mean, it's a kids movie, so there's a lot of comedy and a lot of jokes and a lot of lighthearted stuff.
Although, like, but, with most things with T.J. Miller, they overdo him as a character.
Oh, I love T.J. Miller. I felt like T.J. Miller landed for me more often than Baymax.
He was better here than he was in a lot of things. He plays Fredzilla. He's the stoner comic book fan who's not a scientist, who always just wanted his scientist friends to turn him into a giant fire-breathing monster, and lo, genius Asian kid comes along. Wait a minute, this movie is racist. Okay, sorry, go ahead.
See, for me, Baymax, all the cute Baymax moments, the fist bump and what's he come back and says, it's an expression.
Right.
Those kinds of things are things I see a mile away, because I've seen lovable, ignorant character growing to become more human. I've seen that so many times.
Why'd you look at me when you said that? I don't like that. Yeah, I don't like the assumption made there.
Yeah, stop talking about Thor that way.
You're lovable and ignorant, but you're not trying to be more human.
I just imagine Thor is an interesting one, because I just imagine him in that first movie being like, what the hell is a fist bump?
Right.
Do I need to be in a fist bump mood?
But that's what he did. He's like, I like it.
Another.
Yeah. I meant no disrespect.
For me, T.J. Miller, and I will admit, I've been on board the T.J. Miller train since Cloverfield. But
I completely forgot he was fucking in that.
He's HUD.
Wow. I have not seen that movie in a long time.
You need to get on
that.
He was
the much needed comedy relief of that movie.
Yeah. I felt like he landed for me.
No, he did in this film.
Yes.
But like, you know, much more so than I can put up with him during Silicon Valley. We were okay. Like, oh, for God's sakes, will you please climb in a hole for an episode or
but
two?
But the point I'm making is I admire the film attempting to, instead of create characters that appeal to kids and adults at the same time, they've kind of picked a few characters to appeal toward different demographics.
True.
And I think that that's a strong move. That it may be the strongest move the writing team ever pulls off.
Scott Adsit plays Baymax, which is the inflatable robot we were talking about. And for me, it was that he was by far, like, the relationship between him and the kid were the emotional core of this film. They were the comedy core of this film. They did so many great, they're the visual core of this film. There's so many great gags with him. I mean, like, the flying sequences are all with him, all now dressed up in badass armor that the kids designed for him. I mean, like, he's a character that, like, 5 minutes after he's off screen, I'm already going on my want to go on my phone and look up Entertainment Earth to see if they have a figure of him available.
No, I had to tell myself as I was watching this, you have enough action figures. You don't need this one. Step back from Entertainment Earth and Amazon Prime.
But would having that action figure improve your emotional state?
It totally would.
Then you should buy it.
I tell you, you know, before, I don't want to go without mentioning Damon Wayans Jr., who for my money,
we did mention him.
We did?
Mention him harder.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, just in terms of he's great in this movie, and he is miles more talented than his father or his uncles.
Hey.
That's not incorrect.
You've obviously not seen The Last Boy Scout.
Oh, Jesus Christ. But I've also...
What?
I'm going to get you, sucker.
Oh, God. Oh, that's the worst travesty to my
now, now I'm just thinking about Billy Blanks shooting himself in the head.
With blanks.
With blanks. Ah, shooting with blanks.
And also, let me
Big Hero 6.
So, yeah.
Sorry. I just need to remind the people listening every once in a while what they're listening to.
No, you're right.
And another thing about the economy.
if I could say my biggest
Hero 6.
I really gotta know what I want to say. My biggest plus of this movie was the art design. I love the art design. I love the way that the concept art and how they executed it on screen. I like the design of the city. I like how the armor on the robot. Baymax. I like everything about it. But the only thing I don't like about this movie is because I feel it's getting overused. Is basically it's nanotech, the robots that plug in together.
Yeah,
and I feel like we got about one more movie of that before it becomes cheap.
And before it becomes like, they're preparing us for actual nanotech.
Yeah.
As they are for the apocalypse, for us having to leave the planet for space because we're all going to die if we don't. All these things.
Yeah. The end
don't
of Okra.
Don't you see it coming?
The end of Okra.
Thank God.
How are we going to get Okra magazine without Okra?
There's some Cajun just crying right now.
Okra fetishist.
It's so slimy.
I like Okra, but I think I like Gale more. But no, the other thing about this movie is that the nanotechnology, if it means that we can actually have Uber Jason, as we did in Jason X.
What, you can just call on your phone?
Yeah, you can drive.
Jason just shows up. God, that would be so much easier for him to kill
people.
For
Halloween.
Oh, Uber Jason!
On the front of your car.
Oh my God, that's right.
Fuck this review. We're done. We're done with this website.
You guys dropped the ball on Halloween.
I tell you the best thing about this movie is, like, a bunch of fat nerds, they have their costume for next year.
Yeah.
They're going to be Baymax.
Honey Lemon.
And that's, yeah.
Just the heels, I can see him click right
now. That's the fun part of this movie, too, is that story-wise, you do have a bunch of, you know, they self-identify as nerds, and it's like, yeah, the nerds are rising up and taking over. And I liked that, you know, at the beginning of the movie, they all were very, like, natural characters. It didn't seem like they were being forced too hard. But there was a point in the movie when they were just speaking in catchphrases, and I was like, you don't have to do that. You were so good about developing these characters in a natural way that whether you liked them or didn't like them, you felt like they were real. And then they spend like a good 10-minute period just like, mint berry crunch or whatever the fuck they're...
You have to keep in mind that is where the design by committee from Disney and Marvel comes in. That's where the merchandising team comes in and goes, yeah, but what's she going to say when you push the button on the back of the doll?
Right.
She's going to say woman up.
Yeah.
Well, to be fair, I'm going to buy these action figures.
But do you need them to say the catchphrase? Yeah, and also, do you think it's possible for them to merchandise the villain in a way that makes him as fucking scary as he is early on in this film?
I really do like the design. It actually reminded me of Legend of Korra.
Avatar The Last Airbender.
Yeah.
So fucking scary.
Yeah, it was really
cool. When he's coming through the mist off the rock there. Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah.
Actually, really, my thought was, I want to go as that guy next Halloween, because that's awesome.
As well, when you get to the point where you find out who the villain is, which is not a terribly surprising twist.
No.
I mean, this movie ultimately is much more programmed for kids than it is for adults.
Yes.
And they lay all the groundwork early on for you, any sort of even mildly jaded film viewer, to guess early on who it is. They make him more interesting than just a simply one-dimensional villain, which certainly made me like this movie a lot more. That's a big step for these type of films to start doing that sort of thing, as opposed to Thor 2. Just say.
I don't disagree.
Anyway, let's go to final thoughts. And Brian, you get to start this one. What do you think about that?
Spongy! He's very spongy.
Is that a description?
That's it. That's my whole thought. My whole final thought.
And your rating?
And my rating is spongy out of spongy spongies. No,
it's a sponge filled with milk.
If this whole movie was just Hero and Baymax, I would be happy. Like, I really do think, like, as Chris said, that's the heart of this movie. I think Adsit does a great job of, obviously this is a situation where he's watching the animation when to lend, nuance to his voice performance, because it linked up so well. And the way they animate Baymax, like the way he moves and the way he speaks, and he's just so sweet and it's so funny. And I absolutely completely fell in love with that character. He totally won me over. There's a lot of great action in the movie. It does look beautiful. They find a way to fucking shoehorn Stan Lee's cameo in here, which, stay after the credits for that.
I didn't stay after the credits.
No, I went back because the studio rep was literally like, hey, there's a thing after the credits, and part of me wanted to go, couldn't give a shit. And
that was really nice.
And I went back.
Tie into the other Marvel films? Then I don't care.
Stan Lee is the new Nick Fury, and
four eyes instead of one.
But I will say,
Stan Lee cameo earlier in the
They
pull it back.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not only that, but this also obviously it takes place. I'm gonna do this because the fucking Pixar theory has been a big deal right now. I'm gonna throw this out there. This obviously takes place in a world where the Marvel heroes also exist, because if you look in TJ Miller's room, there's definitely a Thanos on the wall. So there's that. But yeah, no, I think it's a really enjoyable movie.
A statue of Thanos.
Yeah, but it can't be the same thing as the Marvel film universe, because who the fuck would put a Thanos statue on?
I'm just saying.
That's a good point.
It's there, and we must acknowledge it. No, I had a lot of fun with this movie. I think there are some moments where it kind of trips up, and I think it's because of what Michael said, the sort of movie making by committee of Disney and Marvel kind of putting their collective money making heads together. And also, I think that this is a movie that's going to drive Republicans up the wall.
Yes.
Give it 2 days. Yeah. There's going to be some angry Bill O'Reilly rant about how this is propaganda for Obamacare, and he can go fuck himself because it's an adorable movie that doesn't have an agenda.
The best thing about this movie for me is just right off the bat, it's like fills up its shotgun with, hey, kids, here's science. It's awesome. And fires it directly into their faces. And the kids are like, oh, more like Bukkake or something.
Did you just talk about Bukkake? And kids and okay,
but, no. With, science, Chris, but yeah. With science,
but with science,
well, yeah.
That and they also just at the beginning just set out that this is a diverse society where everybody it's more of a plurality of races.
The science is tight in this film.
Stop! No, don't even stop.
Sorry, I didn't mean to jump ahead.
You know what? All that being said, I think it's a great animated film. I'm going to give it 8 out of 10 cease and desist orders that we are inevitably going to get after people hear this review.
Hey, Leah.
I really like this movie. I was even though I was a little bored towards the middle, because I watch a lot of animation, and so I've seen a lot of tropes. So I was just sort of waiting for something new. I like the concept art, I like the art design, I like the animation, I like the character design. One of the things I really liked about this movie is I felt like I was watching X-Men, like the one from '92 with the great intro song, and I felt like I was watching some '80s cartoons because everybody had their power. And they were very clearly defined. They were color-coded. And that may seem simple, but sometimes I want simple. I like some of the twists in the movie. But ultimately, my big problem with this movie is, in contravention to Interstellar, just follow me, it doesn't really try that hard. It doesn't really swing for the fences. It just sort of says, we want to get this movie out. We want to sell a bunch of toys. We're not going to do anything hard besides one scene in the movie. And Pixar is so good at this point. I hold them to a higher standard in animation. I hold Pixar to the Ghibli standard. It's like, if you're going to give me Up and you're going to give me Incredibles and you're going to give me Toy Story 3 where toys fucking face death by fire, you can't then put...
You don't think on an animation standard this was worse than...
No, not animation. I'm talking about story-wise.
Oh, okay.
Like where they're going with the story, the emotions they want to elicit. There, in Toy Story 3, there's a scene where the toys have accepted death. And you just see that. That's amazing. And you can't present me with that and then give me this very by the numbers thing, expect me to go think is as good. So,
are you saying you want kids to accept death?
Yes.
Okay. It's important.
It's an important thing for them to accept.
But I got shit about the end
of Okja. I was going to say, I wasn't even going to.
So, but all that said, because they're not swinging for the fences and they're just trying to do something very safe, I'm curving them down to a 7 out of 10 hairy babies.
It's like that NASA van on the side of it says free candy now. Anyway, I'm going to go next and let Michael finish off this round here. I know, you get the honor, right? the distinctive honor. Yeah, this is not Disney, like, reaching for unheard-of ground before. You know, I mean, like, plot-wise, they're, you know, they take... This is pretty formula, but there's some really smart people taking and punching this up and making these characters fun and making these visualizations really neat. And, in fact, doing something that, you know, I firmly approve of and, in fact, applaud loudly, which is saying, kids, science is cool. We need more of that. And unfortunately, for the last 10, 15 years, there's been very little
of it. You can say
it,
the Bush years.
Yeah, right? It's like, it has been almost demonized. Yeah, we need movies that make little kids go, I want to be a scientist when I grow up. And this is probably going to be one of those ones that is going to be held close to the hearts of people in about 10 years or so when they're applying for college. It is, in and of itself, despite its simplicity and familiarity, a pretty wonderful little film, I think. It does everything that it sets out to do just right. There was nary a moment in this outside of familiarity that I was like, ooh, that hit a false note. I enjoyed this all the way through, and I'm actually going to give it, you know, with a point off just for the fact that it's not all that original, 9 out of 10 action figures that I will probably spend too much money on down the road.
I also have just figured out why Chris didn't like Interstellar very much. Is that movie should have made kids want to grow up to be scientists, but in reality, it just makes kids want to grow up and be Matthew McConaughey. So
that's still going to be Matthew McConaughey.
Stop moving to Austin.
But you can keep on showering. Yeah. Just saying.
Okay. Well, I have a.
He freezes up when he gets.
I really like animated films. I really like kids films. I haven't seen all of them ever. And for me, as I was saying kind of before we started, the gold standard is Monsters versus Aliens. Which I think is, it's...
Elliot, come on. Let the man have his opinion.
No, just bear with me. Just follow me.
You and your mustache, I'm going to give a second.
And this movie, I don't get as emotionally attached to Baymax and Hero as I do to some of the characters in the movie I can't talk about anymore.
The Big Hero 4.
Right.
Yeah.
But I think that what for me felt like was lacking the most. I can't fault like you said. I can't fault it for not doing anything amazingly original. I mean, it isn't. I wish it could have been more unique, more original, done maybe more interesting things, but I think that it's playing well within ground that's enjoyable and entertaining. I wanted to see more of the other four characters.
Yeah, agreed.
So much. I just so
or at least
much
more about who the hell they were in the first place.
I mean, you kind of get a quip about backstory, and that was kind of the moment where I went, I don't know who these people are. And
you never really know anything about any of them
from that point,
except for I'm sorry. No, the other four, the guy, T.J. Miller.
Right.
It's the only one we really know anything about his backstory at all.
Which, to me, felt a little bit like sequel bait, which I'm okay with, as long as it's not called Big Hero 7. I grew more tired of the Hero and Baymax dynamic than you guys seem to. I didn't think it was bad. I thought it was really enjoyable and pretty well done, but I just wanted so much more of the world than the film ever gave me. I thought the villainy was super strong. I thought that the villain was scary. The reveal it wasn't surprising, but I felt like it was done in a tasteful enough way to motivate the character. I was disappointed that there was no, while they were the car chase scene, I was disappointed that they didn't cross it over with a Humvee, through the streets of San Francisco, but you can't have everything.
God damn you, Michael Bay.
But,
where's when they Michael run Baymax. Over the apple
Michael
car?
Baymax, nice. Well done.
When is the old woman pushing the car baby cart across the street? Yeah,
where's Nicolas Cage?
Where's the
he's a chemical super freak, Elliot.
Super freak.
Yeah,
super freak. That did things for kids with science, right?
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's kind of the point I want to end on is I think that you're correct. I think that the whole, I mean, it's interesting to watch to watch Disney use their merchandising and committee power to lure children into science. something we've seen them do with toys and candy for so long. Or McDonald's Happy Meal prizes.
That it feels so reputable to see them actually make all that effort for something that's worthwhile.
Exactly. and so, I won't rave about Big Hero 6, but I think that it's probably a more important movie than a lot of the more recent kids' movies, than Despicable Me 2.
Sure.
And so, for that reason, I'm gonna bump it up from halfway and give it 7 out of 10.
Oh, not as high as I would have thought, considering everything you were saying.
Well, like I said at the very beginning, it's not my absolute favorite for a kid's movie, but I think that it does a lot of really strong things that would make it better than the average movie.
You totally had a hard-on for Honey Lemon, didn't you?
I did, and I wanted more Honey
Lemon. Where's the more Honey Lemon? Who is Honey Lemon?
Yeah,
Lemons?
So I'm gonna give it 7 out of 10 Honey Lemons handling balls.
Wow.
I have never been more convinced in my life that we are going to hell. No, I have been. That's a lot.
You know something about the director, Jeepers Creepers?
Yeah, you were on Leo.
Oh, my God. Victor Salva's Big Hero 6.
I did not direct this film.
Wow. Well, that's good to know.
Wait. The Bukkake thing was not from me. That was Elliot. He told me.
Hell no.
Just admit it.